Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This Bible study and both of the messages today, all three of our messages, they are all going to go together in a way that I don't believe I've ever had messages go together before. One is going to be a continuation of the previous one. It's basically one big message, and I wanted to spend a little time on each section of it. So, the Lord willing, for our messages this morning and tonight, both of those are going to be in Romans 8. And right here in Ephesians 1 and there in Romans 8, both of these portions of Scripture are talking about God's people being adopted into His family. That's what both the particular verses of Romans 8 that we are at as we go through Romans. And here in Ephesians 1, they're both talking about our adoption into the family of God and what that means for us because of the adoption. So with that being the theme of today, what I want to do is I want to give you all three titles, and that'll cause us to understand what the focus of each one will be and how they're going to go together. The title of this Bible study is The Adoption of Children. The title of the message in a moment is If Children, Then Heirs. And then the title of the message tonight will be Heirs of a Glorious Hope. The adoption of children. If children, then heirs. Heirs of a glorious hope. All right, Ephesians 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who he's writing to. To the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He is not writing to every soul. He's not writing to every soul. The Bible, and you know, everyone who falls under the Christian canopy has a Bible. Most everybody has a Bible, has seen a Bible. But the Bible is not written to everybody. Now, it says something about everybody. It exposes everybody. But the promises of salvation are not written to everybody. They don't potentially apply to everybody. And that's what people think. Well, there's some promises in here, and they could potentially apply to you if... No, they don't potentially apply to everybody. This word is only two, and it's only four God's adopted children. That's who he wrote it to. God's children. Let me show you that over in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, children. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He said, you have on purpose hid these things from those who see themselves to be wise in the way of God, and you have revealed these things on purpose to babes, children, those who see themselves to be ignorant in the things of God, revealed it to one, hid it from another. Look with me at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 10 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Our Lord preached in parables, and they said, "Why are you preaching in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given." It's not given to everybody. Verse 13, he said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not." They see it, but they don't see it. And he said, "Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." They hear it, but they don't hear it. Therefore, they don't understand it. They do not understand it. Turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." To as many as thou hast given him. Verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Every time you see "the world" in the scripture, thank God he has a people all over this world. All over the world. But he is referring to them which thou gavest me out of the world. "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word." In verse 9, he said, "I pray for them." I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the whole world. Praying for the ones you've given to me. Turn back a few pages to John 10. John 10, 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believed not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He did not say, "You are not my sheep because you don't believe me." He didn't say that. He said, "You don't believe because you're not of my sheep." By grace are we saved through faith, believing. That is not of ourselves. That's the gift of God. All right, one more. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 48. "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That doesn't say as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. It says as many as were ordained believed. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell us all right now. Here's the end of this Bible study. This is the transition point, okay? We're establishing the fact that this word is not written to everybody. It's not written to everybody. It's written to God's children, God's adopted children. If you want to know if this word is written to you, here's how you can tell. Has God caused you to believe it? All right, this is what it says. We just read what it says. Has God caused you to believe it? Because if you believe it, that is not your doing. That is God's doing. We give ourselves way too much credit in believing. We go around with this lack of assurance. Do I belong to Him? Do I belong to Him? Do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it, but do I belong to Him? If you believe it, that's God's doing. If you believe it, you were ordained to believe it. Had you not been ordained to believe it, you couldn't believe it. You'd be one of the ones who say, "Shh, I don't believe that." All right, so do you believe the record of God's Word? I was thinking about this morning. If somebody, and people do, and they come and they want to talk about salvation and this and that, this would be my advice. I believe this is going to be my advice. Get a King James Bible. Get a King James Bible, and whatever it says, believe it. Like a child. Yeah, but I don't understand it. Oh no, it's easy to understand. Impossible to believe. Unless God, that can't be right. That can't be right. When God sends His Spirit, that's right. Amen. Get a King James Bible, read it, and believe it. All right. This is how we can know. This is really how we can know. I am so glad that this doesn't say, as many as were ordained to eternal life stopped sinning. Aren't you so glad it doesn't say that? Says they believed. They believed. God is God and I am not. I believe that. I truly do believe that. God has every right to do what He wants with whom He wants, and I don't. I believe that. Had God not chosen a people to save, no one would have been saved. Because this flesh is naturally enmity against God's salvation. That means it hates God's salvation. It will not come to Him that it might have life. God, in mercy and kindness and love, has to lay hold of a sinner and against that sinner's will. Totally against the sinner's will. The Father has to drag the sinner to Christ. The Father draws, it means the Father drags the sinner to Christ. God has to irresistibly force salvation on a sinner, or the sinner will not be saved. That's John chapter 5 and John chapter 6. And by His grace, we believe that. We believe it. God's sovereign work in salvation. God choosing the sinner. God redeeming the sinner. God regenerating the sinner. That's the only hope that the sinner has. God. If God leaves a sinner alone, that sinner will choose to die in his self-righteous sins. That's where he'll choose to die. Now, by His grace, we believe that. Every soul that's ordained to life will believe God. All right, look with me back at Ephesians 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you. Verse 3, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a big verse that is. That's the secret to it all right there. In Christ. That is the secret to it all. The adoption of children is in Christ. All of God's children are in Christ. That's the key to it all. In Christ. In Christ. That's everything. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. What does that mean? You can tell people that. It's in Christ. Oh yeah, it's in Christ. What does that mean? He's about to mention election. He's about to mention righteousness, predestination, adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, grace. On down, he's going to mention an inheritance. And he said all of it is in Christ. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him. You know what that means? That means God didn't choose us. He chose Christ. God chose Christ. He said, behold my servant. He's my elect. I put my spirit on him. He chose Christ, but we were in Christ. Therefore, when the Father chose Christ and accepted Christ and received the worthiness and the perfection of Christ, he chose and he accepted and he received us in Christ. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That ought to prove that it has nothing to do with us. Christ was the only one around before the foundation of the world. We didn't do any good or evil to influence his choice. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He's saying that we should be perfect. That we should be righteous. Mankind naturally sees that in order to go to heaven, you have to be good. That's obvious. Sin can't enter heaven. Sin is not going to enter into heaven. Only what's good and perfect and right. Man naturally sees that. But what man does not naturally see is he doesn't have the ability to produce goodness in himself. No ability at all. Our goodness that earns our entrance into glory is not our goodness at all. Our goodness is Christ's goodness. Our perfection is Christ's perfection. Our holiness, our innocence is Christ's holiness and Christ's innocence. As he is, so are we in him. Now let me illustrate that to you in this way. A woman that is pregnant with a child. If you could ask the child in the womb, if you could have a conversation with the child in the womb and ask this child in the womb, what are you going to eat today? Whatever my mother eats today. Where are you going to go today? Wherever my mother goes today. The mother's life is the child's life in the mother. Is the child really eating? Yes. Is the child really going from point A to point B? Yes. But only in the mother. Everything that mother does applies to that child. If it is, as the scripture words it, reckoned unto the mother, it's reckoned unto the child. You're never going to see a pregnant mother go up to a gate at an airport with a boarding pass and hear them say to her, all right, there's your ticket for you, but where's the ticket for your baby? It's right here. When I bought this ticket for myself, I bought this ticket for the one who's inside me. Well, where's your baby going to sit? Right there with me. The one inside me is going to be seated right there in me. A lot of times we may wonder, this is something that a lot of people wonder, a lot of believers wonder, am I good enough to go to heaven? Here's the answer. No. Have I really done enough to go to heaven? Here's the answer. No. Did that baby do anything to help purchase that airline ticket? No. But if God has given us to Christ, and if we are in Him, then this is the only question that needs to be asked. Is Christ good enough to go to heaven? That's the only thing we need to know. Has Christ done enough to walk straight through the gates of heaven itself? Yes. Yes, He has. And if that's what He is, and if that's what He has earned, then that's what we are, and that's what we have earned in Him. Where He goes, we go in Him. What He does, we do in Him. All of His work is on His own behalf, and it's on the behalf of every soul that the Father has placed in Him. Let me show you this quickly. Look with me at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And hopefully we realize that that means every man that the Father has placed in Him. He's about to literally tell us that right here in this passage. Verse 10, for it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. They're all one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Have you ever seen a mother pregnant who is ashamed to say, this is my baby. This is me. He said, we're all one, and He's not ashamed to call them brethren. They're in Him, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. I'll do that. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in Him. He said, I will put my trust in the Father. I will do all this. Verse 13, He said, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I'm doing this for myself, and I'm doing this for every child that the Father has given to me. I'm doing it for both of us. So back in Ephesians 1, that's what it means in verse 5. When He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. We were chosen to adoption, predestinated unto adoption by Jesus Christ to Himself. He did this for us. He secured our legal right to be added to the family of God, counted as members of the family. He did it all according to the good pleasure of His will. That means He wanted to. He did it because He wanted to. And verse 6 says, it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute, and we're going to pick up right here in the message in a minute, and this is going to intertwine with Romans 8. Before we stop, notice that He said in verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He said, in whom, in Christ, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. And that's what we were talking about a minute ago. You heard it and you believed it and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. When you buy a house, you put down an earnest. You put down an earnest payment. And what you're saying is, I promise I'll buy this house. Well, God says to His child, my earnest to you is my Spirit. If I've sent my Spirit to you and caused you to believe, then you are mine. I bought you, and every promise that there is in Christ is going to come to you. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, if that applies to us, then we're about to see what that means for us. If we're children, then we're heirs. And that's a wonderful thought. All right, you're dismissed.